Two Right and a continuation of the visit with Marvin and Ms. Gusser this Sunday night after supper, the 17th of September, 72. Channel Two Right and a continuation of the visit with Marvin and Ms. Gusser this Sunday after supper, the 17th of September, 72. Channel Two Right and a continuation of the visit with Marvin and Ms. Gusser this Sunday after supper, the 17th of September, 72. Channel 2 Right and a continuation visit with Ms. Gusser and Marvin this Sunday after supper, the 17th of September, 72. And it's a good little bit now before the tape starts.
Hear somebody else say, somebody will do something else. Something else you can share.
Well, I'm sure it's one of these remedies.
So.
But she's got one, and she's better.
It's the people that's got, as many people that's got arthritis, if them Buckeyes carrying one in your pocket would cure, there wouldn't be one left in Tennessee.
Marvin, where would you get a Buckeye?
Tennessee.
Do you know what a Buckeye
yes.
is?
Yes.
Where would you get a Buckeye?
In Tennessee. It's where they grow.
I grew up with Buckeyes.
You did.
Tennessee. Yes, sir.
A Buckeye is something that it looks like a lot like a chestnut.
I know it.
But I have never seen one in Florida.
But the people that's got arthritis, why, the people that up in Tennessee could make a fortune.
I have. They grow up there around my brothers in the woods.
Oh, up around you in Florida?
Regular Buckeye?
Yeah.
Huh.
I didn't know they grew in Florida.
Yes, they do.
But right. I did know there's in Tennessee. Lots of them.
Well,
you know that arthritis. I can't remember that people used to have that sort of aches and pains as much as they do now, did they?
I don't believe they did.
Why, the other person got it, one place or another.
Mine is in my spine.
How long you been bothered? Not long.
No, you know, when I was so poor, I hear that winter that Bacom stayed somewhere else.
Yeah.
And when it started.
Yeah. Well, that's just recent.
And I saw my back. Dr. Dater took my x-rays, and I seen it.
Oh.
About three, four years.
Yeah.
And they call it calcium deposits on my ribs.
Yeah.
And up there, they said that my backbone up there had decayed and had slipped.
Oh. What happened? The x-ray.
I'm afraid that someday I'll be paralyzed.
The doctor showed me the x-ray and what's happened on the bone, the backbone itself. The calcium will leak out of the bone, and it builds up around this joint on this side. Well, it offsets it like that there and causes pain.
Yeah, and you can't get it off.
Well, you can operate, yes, you can operate, but
come
right back. It's not successful.
Mm-hmm. But you can take pills.
You can take pills for it.
You know what happened, Mr. Weaver? Mr. Buck Weaver?
What happened to him?
Didn't have a circulation on there. The doctor put circulation up from here, put tubes right down just under his skin,
and put him into the arteries down here, and he's...
He was at the house last Sunday.
That was Mark.
Oh, you mean Mr. Buckley?
Buckley's one. He's the one that's pretty poorly. Of course, Mike is got symptoms too, but not like Buck.
Oh, Mac Weaver came to see you?
Yes, ma'am. He got a whole carload of dogs. He'd been out fox hunting. I seen him pass this afternoon. He tooted and tooted and tooted.
Oh, did he? Well, he's due over here.
He is.
Yeah.
I think what happens, he goes, he carries a bunch of dogs out and turns them loose and forgets how many he turns loose and he keeps hunting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what his life's for here, is he comes over here with his son, you see. Kevin, I mean.
What's his for?
Toys.
Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
See, that's got a big bright light in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's liable to pop up.
Well, I tell you, it has been so outlandish, hot, I didn't care who come.
Gertie said it taken him 4 hours last night to cut that woman out of the car. Him and the deputy sheriff drove up to our house about dark, and the deputy sheriff's fan belt had broke. And they left the deputy's car in our yard to come to Micanopy to get a fan belt, and they went back and fixed it. And Curtis had to go to Hawthorne and work that in, and the deputy had to come over here. And just, I reckon, about 30 minutes, not that long, I just got through in the kitchen, went in the house, here come that deputy sheriff, full speed, just a blowing the siren. And it like to scared me to death. I just knew something had happened to Curtis. And I tried to get Marvin to let's get in the car and go to Hawthorne, but it was a wreck.
Wreck at Hawthorne?
Called him. And a drunk nigger killed another poor nigger woman.
And two children. There was two children in the car, but they didn't get killed. They was hospitalized. The nigger woman got killed.
One in other woman words, killed her dead. Curtis said it taken him 4 hours and a half to cut the cars apart.
The nigger was driving a pickup truck. The nigger man, he was drunk.
Yeah.
He pulled over on the left of the road, meeting this nigger woman with her youngins and running into the head of them.
Yeah. Do you know John Turner at Citra? He sells vegetables. Well, anyhow, some of his family was in that accident. That was Friday, a week ago, I guess. Now that's in Citra, it might not get in our papers, might it? But anyhow, they ran across 301 in front of this semi. Mm-hmm. Just bought into Jack.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And some of their family in that, and he said it took them half a day. They had to just pull the car apart.
Well, that's what the way they did last night on this one, I think. He said it was from 8 to 8:30 to about 2 o'clock, something like that, trying to get that woman out of that car. She was
said they cut her head near about off and just crushed her up. She.
I don't
know what happened. It started at the hood and just pushed it every bit right in back to the back seat.
Don't tell me about that. I can't, hard for me to get out. I wish there was a back way to go places.
Well, I'll tell you, the highways are not the only place. A friend of mine was killed last night right just 2 doors from her house.
Hmm.
You don't have to be, I mean, she was in her car. You don't have to be on the highway. I never saw anything like it.
Hmm.
It's just, I don't know.
Well, you know,
Just
car ran into
it.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Just run her down. Just run over.
Probably the most one of the most powerful teachers in the schools.
Was this in Gainesville?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Green. Well, she was riding her own block. Green.
Well, this colored woman's name was Green. That
not
got
really.
To you. And there was another person got killed somewhere.
Well, I tell you, we just have to go out and live with cattle.
Looked like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. They step on me.
Oh!
They won't eat you. A hog will step on you and then turn around and eat you.
Eat you too, huh? Yes.
Oh?
But a cow won't do that. They'll step on you, but they won't eat you.
You know Marvin Townsend, he don't worry about a thing in the world.
No.
He don't worry about nothing. It's come day, go day. Let every day take care of itself.
Yeah.
I was so scared last night, I tried to get him to let's get in the car and go to Hawthorne and see about Curtis. And I dreamed all the time I was sleeping last night about somebody. He went to arrest somebody, you know, and they kidnapped him.
Yeah.
And they had him off, and we couldn't find him. And I told him he was going to get his head knocked off, and he will.
Well?
He went into a nigger juke last night and closed that thing up.
He's just not afraid, is he?
He ain't
one
scared.
One nigger got shot. That ain't real far.
Huh.
It might be interesting to be out an evening with Curtis.
Faye, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I think I'd rather sit at the dinner table over there and listen to what goes on.
Well, now let me tell you something. He can tell you some things that you wouldn't think about.
Yeah. He must think the rest of us are pretty protected, innocent people, doesn't he? We don't see anything.
Well, we don't. He's all the time on the go, day and night. And you, some of the tales that he tells about the gals running away from home, you know.
Oh really?
Yes, sir. They catch one on the road, they pick him up, put him in jail.
He's out of state, they do.
They do what?
Pick him up and put him in jail.
You mean pick a girl?
Yes, sir.
Or pick a hitchhiker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if they're hitchhiking out of another state.
Oh, they do?
I didn't know that.
Probably won't lock them up or anything. They'll take them in custody and notify their parents.
Oh, if they're young.
Young, yeah.
Under 18, I think. So.
Well, I'll expect.
Or 18 and young.
Yeah.
So we'll speak it for a while.
They hear us, you see.
Uh-huh.
They come up to tell us about all those things. You know, I've thought six times of something I wanted to bring up, and every time I think about it, you all get to talking, and I can't remember it.
Well, if you remember, tell us to hush.
I hold up my hand.
Yeah.
There's something other that Curtis was doing. What was Curtis doing?
He built your pen,
the cow pen.
Your cow pen.
He remodeled it, put up a couple of new gates. Marvin's got to go down and turn them around and put them up right.
Oh, Miss Mary.
Yeah. Got change ends with.
Oh, yeah, just change ends.
Yeah. That's all matter. But he learned fast. You wouldn't have to tell him twice, would you?
No, well, they're all right the way he's got them hung, except they won't swing back to the fence, and I like a gate to swing back to the fence.
Oh, I see.
They got the upright pieces this way, and then the galvanized this way. And if he'd have just changed ends,
yeah,
the way it's opening, if he could have opened it around this way on the inside, it would swung back to the fence.
Well, now,
just change ends with the gate, just swap ends and put the hinges on the other end, and it'll swing up.
Well, if I knew just where they were located, I'm a little short of fence of gates myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd have to do some tall cutting because we've got them locked.
I put some case hard chains on them and locked them to the post.
Oh, really?
Well, I do all my gates out of where them galvanized people. You know, we've had people steal the post out of the fence.
You mean tell me they'll take the whole gate?
Sure, they'll take the whole gate.
And the post.
And the post if they get it up.
Yeah.
We've had, when we first put that fence from home to River Styx, and then we had lighted posts, good, you know, fat lighted.
Uh-huh.
And people would come there and steal the post, knock the staples out and pull the post up and carry them off. Evidently for wood.
Oh,
well, no, I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, they've done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, where in the world did they find the cows?
Live Oak.
$70,000 worth of them?
Something like, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It told a man's name, but I can't think of him.
Yeah.
Chris says they got him up there in jail.
I'm telling you. Well, this little boy down here on the highway, 441, you know, had that trailer there. Right at the end of this dirt road, Ross and Tuscaloosa. He's still in jail.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
I heard he was out.
I didn't see him.
Somebody said he had got a pardon.
What did he do?
He stole them calves, you know, that, what's his name?
Hannah.
Well, somebody told me that he was a Miss Bass, I believe. You know him and Billy's big buddies.
Yeah. I heard that he'd got a pardon. Who was that? That's been some time ago.
Billy Grown?
Billy Dyson.
Yeah.
Miss Bass's son-in-law.
Oh, son-in-law.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That was,
I think, tell you the truth, I think he was in with him.
Well, I'm pretty sure of that.
Because he had a whole cow pen full of calves.
Oh.
I mean, a big cow pen full. And he naturally got rid of some calves as soon as that got out.
Yeah.
And he lost his job driving an ice cream truck, too. You know, he was working for DeConnell.
Yeah.
But he's not no more. He's driving a gas truck.
Whatever happened to old lady Glistening?
Is
she still living down there?
Oh, yeah. Fixing to build her daughter a big fine home down there.
She was going to the mountains. I don't know if she's back yet or not. I guess she is.
Fixing to build her daughter a big fine home.
Mm-hmm. Her daughter married again.
Again?
Well.
Oh, yeah.
This is about her fifth husband.
Fifth?
So, it's either the fourth or the fifth.
Well, the last track I had, she had left that nice little place out there where she lived and gone to Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Well, she married a man at Orlando, and now that she's fixing to build at Cross Creek, Marjorie is.
Yes. Do you know Marjorie?
Yeah. Sure.
I saw her one time, and I thought she was just something. I just took a great liking to her.
Yeah.
She good natured and laughed and outgoing, you see.
Mhm.
She didn't seem to be mean like Jake.
So they're
going to
build
her
a big house at Cross Creek.
That's what I heard. Well, Ms. Wilson sure doesn't need her.
You mean she's...
Poorly.
Poorly?
She needs Marjorie.
And, Marjorie had a grown daughter, a son or so.
Oh, yeah. She's got a married daughter down there at Orlando.
Well, I'd rather come back to the creek and stay down to Orlando now, the way things are filling up down there.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had. Looks to me like that event, everybody knew about that place of yours over there, the Dunham place, you see. It looks to me like
everybody wants it, but it's too much. They don't want
they
that
don't
much. They want me to split it up, and I am not going to do it.
I could have split it up in 20 acre lots and got $1,500, $2,000 an acre for it.
I'm not going to split it up.
The time you figure.
You got to build a highway
across. And everything else. Well,
and that's another thing I told the men. I said, now if you want it surveyed, you're going to survey it and you're going to pay for it because I ain't going to survey it. Because I know where all Four Corners is. And you've been showed, and it says 155.5 acres, and that's you to survey it, so they agreed to it. They're to survey it.
Well, if you were to split it up in lots, you'd have to do a lot of things to it.
That's right.
That'd put you in the real estate business.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that Pangola sure did come back this year?
Yeah.
It sure did.
Had a mile of wind last winter.
So you're going to have plenty of heat?
No.
We won't have enough, but we're going to make more than I expected to start with.
Yeah. Well?
We'll probably get by on the hay if the winter ain't too bad by buying some protein.
Yeah. That protein is what gets you.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring them two horses.
What? Miss Mary?
Put them over here in your pasture.
Okay.
All right.
We got two or three. We'll talk with you. Put them down there with them big draft horses. Ain't they something?
You know, that'd be something, you know.
Wake up someone and see.
One time we had a neighbor that lived up there in the Jackson house close to, and they had a milk goat. Big old goat. And honest to goodness, that goat knowed that evening that them people was fixing to move.
And leave that.
And they left that goat there, and that goat come down to the house. And that goat like to run me crazy. And I told Marvin, I said, let's take him in the car and can't put him in Mr. Gus's pasture.
They had goats over there, so you were just going to get rid of them by putting him over there.
So we went and got the old goat, you know, big old goat, and put him in the truck and carried him over there and put him in Mr. Gus's pasture. Never heard a word. And one day, Mr. Gus was talking to us, and he said, you know, somebody put a big old billy goat in my pasture. And I couldn't hold my face straight, save my life. Nothing. Where in the world do you reckon would have done such a thing as that? He says, you done that. I said, I sure did.
Oh, you had to do it back up to the fence, and he'd jump over the fence. Go. We didn't put him in there, we just lost him.
I don't know whether what he ever done with the old goat.
What the old goat done with it? Well, that was before 1950.
Mm-hmm. It was during the war, wasn't it?
Edward Nation moved.
And they left the old goat there.
I tell you, if we find something strange in our pastures, we'll know who put it there.
Well, we don't got any goats. That costs money anymore, you know it. And then you could buy them for about $1.50 a head.
Yes, yes.
Oh, you really
could? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you could. And then you see you got them barbecued before too long in time.
Mm-hmm.
And always had goats.
Do you eat goat?
Do I? I did up the country. I don't down here. I don't have any.
Well, they got so high, so you can buy steak.
I have never ate any
goat
that I know of.
Didn't Mr. Thrasher used to have goats over there?
I think so.
I think he tried a little bit of everything.
Oh, I see.
Barbecue?
Yeah.
Well, that used to be the main thing, the barbecue around when we grew up.
Oh, yes. And they had that hot salad sauce to go on it. It just set you on fire.
I just love barbecue stuff.
Set
you
on fire.
Pizzas and barbecues and things.
Yes.
I know.
Let me tell you, I told you this, didn't I?
The
vet was over here. When that little filly got bit, I don't think it was a snake bit, I think it was an insect or something, so it got bit on the nose, and that was something. Oh, that was something.
We should have called you all come see that.
And I just walking with him up here, and I said, I'd seen him over at Ms. Don's. I says, you know, I told you that. I have really not seen any real fat cows over to the Dodds. And he said right off like that, he says they have got that extreme parasite problem over there.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
Parasite? Worm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, a lot of the times they don't have much pasture. He says that makes it worse. If they've got good high grass, you see, they won't get it as bad. It's in the ground. And I didn't know. Does a place get infested with parasites?
I don't know.
You ought to know.
Why should I want to know?
Well, tell me one thing. Zane Hogan's grass.
Oh, you're talking about.
Got plumb full of these year army worms. And we cut one patch and saved it for him, but the other patch right over there, he turned his cows in. Well, what will I do to the cows?
They can't eat the worms.
I don't see how come they can't eat the worms.
They eat the leaves.
Ain't
well,
got a thing in the world to do
but
pick them off, and pick them up and eat them.
Because you can just almost point your finger at one that's close to him and have that grass and he'll poo like that. There, he'll hop off of that on the ground in a cow that's got any grass at all. Ain't going to eat from, you know, right off of the ground.
Or do they do that?
Them army worms will.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing, I seen a worm, and you might not believe it, but I bet you was longer than this table. If he'd have been stretched out, and he was as wide as a tape.
But you know, we bought stuff.
Where was that?
At my house. Mr. Joe Weaver seen it, too.
We have bought stuff and wormed calves and wormed
cows. Where you wormed them?
Mm-hmm.
And we never did have no success with it. And I bought that stuff that you put in the feed and tried that. And cows all look the same to me. I don't see no difference in them.
Well, I asked Bill Sneed. He was down here one time. And I said, the cows, some people say you ought to wear them. Some say don't. Well, he says, you just take your choice. He says your animals look pretty good, you see, but if you haven't worn them, you know they've got worms, and it's just a matter of whether you want them to have to work double duty for the worms and for them too.
If you give them that citrus puppy, that's all you need.
Well, so that's the way we did them, and we worn them with that regular citrus pup in the wintertime when they can't get anything else. Don't add anything to it. Just give them the
straight citrus.
Put it in the trough. It'll take a while for them to learn to eat it, you know, or fill up on it. But once they fill up on it, I don't think them worms can take that acid like that.
Yeah.
And we wormed them that way, I know.
Yeah.
And outside that, that's the only worming that I know we've ever had any success with.
Oh, yeah, you got some and put it in the feed.
I know it did, but I don't see where the kid had done them any good.
It did.
I can't see it.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I can't put the bull in the cat's head. You see, he'd just pick the cat out and walk off with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get those crumbles, and it takes a pound, and they just cost $2 a pound. So I couldn't mix much feed with that, could I? What did you mix?
Well, we got some stuff that was kind of crumbled deals, but it was, and I knew the name of that stuff at one time, and I forgot now, so.
Well, this was about this much. That's, it was in the, oh, sack.
This was expensive stuff, I know.
I told him to send me a pound here when he said it's $2, and I thought, well, that will do right smart. So I called him back a day or two and find out. And,
just enough for Pappy.
Just enough for Pappy.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Now, your cows don't bother you so much when you wean them in the calves.
Well, we got them away from home.
Yes. And when you don't have them in sight and sound, well, do they bawl?
Oh, sure, they'll bawl.
How long?
Oh, a couple of days. Something like that.
The cows? I find the calves bawl longer than the cows.
Oh, yeah.
They get out there and start feeling sorry for themselves. And I guess they miss that liquid diet.
I have all that is they do.
I had to have her last year. It was just,
not all.
She wouldn't eat anything solid. She'd go over and, long after she was weaned, she'd go over and stand at the fence and look across there where her mama was and just cuss God for everything she could cuss it. And she wouldn't, she'd turn her nose up at that feed. She ate it before, you know, but she wouldn't eat it after she.
Well, she didn't really. She was there for front of me. She didn't hold it against me, but she didn't hold it against anybody. She'd go out at that fence and just look way over yonder where our mama was and just stand there and just sort of blink.
You know, we got to go.
Yeah, man, we got to go.
I was up all night, just got it last night. Got it this morning at 12 o'clock, made him go in there, and then we made coffee and drank coffee and sat out. And, you know, I got up this morning at 4 o'clock, slipped up, and had some work I wanted to do, and I worked, and he slept till 9 o'clock. Don't think any more about it, him.
It's disgusting, ain't it?
Come on, Marvin.
Well, now, let me tell you.
Maybe he figures you do it.
I wake up at 4 o'clock. But there's a thing on earth I can do at 4 o'clock in the morning. What do you do?
I get up and ramble around.
You keep me awake.
I thought you went in and made coffee.
Well, I did, but then I got
up. That was 12 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
Well, I tell you what, if we could ramble at the same time.
And Friday night, I could hear the telephone ringing.
Oh, really?
And it didn't even ring. It just rang and just woke me up, and I was just as wide awake.
Yeah.
Imagination.
You know, James, 1 year ago, left us.
Oh, is that? It's been a year.
He'll be back tomorrow, a year or two.
Well, that's one of the reasons you feel bad.
Yeah, I just can't live with myself this week.
Well, I tell you, when I wake up at night, the thing that helps me is if I talk a little bit. Well, I don't want to wake anybody up to talk to them. You see, you just call me.
Miss Mary, would you do that for me?
What's that?
Could I get a promise out of you? And when you wake up, now let's, and I want some witnesses. When you wake up in the night, I don't care what time it is, would you just call guy?
No, because that way do you come over there?
No, so all he wants to do is talk to somebody and I don't want to talk at that time of
night. No, Faye wants to think about toad frogs. Tree toads, something like that, you see.
I just don't want to.
I don't like to think about tree toads anytime.
He wants to wake up and talk about all the everything.
He
talk.
Talks to me about the crickets out there. Well, I've got nothing against crickets, but I don't want to. I don't want to sit there and listen.
Don't want to make a conversation out of it.
Well, I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and solve the world's problems like he does.
Well, I do too, but I can't help it.
Well, would you please do that? I don't care what time it is. Just call him and tell him you're awake and let's talk.
I sure
I don't
it might
like
run
to
up
read.
A telephone bill.
It would be
I
worth it, Marvin.
I don't like to read in the middle of the night. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-mm.
You're
ready
to
get
I
like to talk.
I get up and I wash dishes, I iron, or I fold up my clothes and put them away.
You're ready to go.
And this morning I took all my old quilts out of the box and redone them and put them up and picked out what I wanted to wash. I just fool around, and he slept like a log. They don't have anything in the world bother him.
Yeah.
If he owned $10 million, I don't believe it bother him.
Well, I know one thing, they couldn't get it, whoever I owed it to, so it wasn't no use to bother him.
I don't have a thing, I do. Now, you can't, what time is the daylight? 7 o'clock?
6:30, isn't it?
Well, you go in there and watch this, you can look out the window. It's exciting.
Yeah, but I get up at 4, 5, 2.
Just any old time.
You can't see anything then.
That's the trouble with guys. If he'd go ahead and get up and do something, it'd be all right. But he just wakes and says, it's too dark to get up. I just talk. It's awful.
I wish I had your transportation over there. I'd load all these little loudmouth things in it and just take them over to your house.
No.
They wouldn't say a thing over there. You see, they wouldn't see anybody they know.
Don't tell
would
me.
They?
Yeah, they would. They'd bawl.
They'd bawl
over
to come
your
back.
House?
They'd bawl to come back home then.
Take
them
over to dinner
place. I could do that.
What happened to you? Shirley said one day I called over there about something, and she said that you had called her and said you were going to sell every last cow you had.
Mr. Hamilton, we put him up a 5-strand barbed wire fence, and he called me and he said that one of my cows went in there and he had a belly full of his turnips, and I bet you he had a row as long as my arm.
Yeah,
about it.
And I said, well, I am sorry. We'll be over there just as soon as we can. And what happened, the cow had got out somewhere else and went up there in the yard. Well, his girl...
trying to find a way back in.
His girl run her back in through the fence, and she tore down... unstapled 2 or 3 wires and got in, and she didn't bite off a
didn't
thing.
Didn't step on.
Didn't do a bit of damage. But no, he goes right there. That's what the reason why I'm going to sell it before I get in trouble. He goes right there, right just as close to my fence as he can, and plants him a turnip patch, and butter beans to run on the fence, and he knows darn well my cows are.
Butter beans to grow on your fence.
Butter beans growing on my fence.
Well, where did he come from?
Across Creek. I think he come from Georgia, didn't he?
I don't know what
North Carolina or somewhere to the creek and run a fish camp.
Well, he can't hold you responsible.
Oh, yeah. I'm responsible, me and Marvin, for everything that happens down there. That's the reason why I wouldn't sell nobody a piece of ground to be buried on. I sure wouldn't.
That's right.
And everybody that you sell a piece of land to, you got to fence him off, and you got to keep up that fence. And I don't care if that man, I hope that them people will build a house here, there, and there, and there, and fill it up so till one can stand on the porch and hear what the other's talking about.
Well, that's the reason I like to run a fence a piece of property. Is to give.
If people don't
feet,
no more care. He had
back
a
two
a
feet
tree.
Away from the line.
And he
and
wanted it, Marvin to cut it down for him because he's afraid it'd fall on his trailer. Marvin got the tree sawed down and he went in the house and got under the air conditioner And then he offered to help me pick up a piece of it and put it on the
You can leave 2 feet of your property over on his, and then you can get over there, you can clean up a fence row. If he plants up to the fence and the cow bites that plant, well, that's your plant. It's not his. It's on your ground. Anytime it, that's what I like to do.
Now say that
yeah,
again.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
If you're joining properties with somebody,
yeah.
If you leave 2 feet, just as much as two, you can leave one. But 2 feet is good. You leave 2 feet. And then your fence row begins to grow up. You get over there, you got 2 feet to weed out if you want to. Get the vines out of your fence.
Oh, I see.
On each side. But if you put it right on the line, leave this side alone. This is mine. Just don't touch it. See? You ain't got no business over here.
Well, what's going to happen if them people survey that land and finds out that they own some of Hamilton's land and that fence has got to be moved?
If they own some of that Hamilton's land, it's up to them and Hamilton to move that fence.
I just freaking tell you, I want to move it.
Well, now, you know, things are getting pretty particular when you got to know things like that.
You can't
clean a fence without owning the...
That's right.
2 feet on
the
side.
I mean, you know, there's not many people who will buck against something like that, but
yeah.
then there's some, too.
And you never know who they are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Literal terms about that long. He said my cow went in there and eat a whole belly full.
Well, he would have taken a half acre to fill that cow up.
He just didn't know his cow, did he?
And she
didn't even
nibble off the first leaf.
Well, she didn't even step on any of them. She walked.
She just
went
and come
there,
out.
But, I mean, where she went, she just looked like stepped over.
She was interested in eating. She was trying
she
to
wanting
get back.
Back in the
mm-hmm.
in the place.
In
there. Well, there was a broke wire about a half a mile down the road from where, you know, his place was. And she got out down there. And
yeah.
She come down the highway trying to get back in rather than go back in where she got out.
Yeah.
And that just that open gap place, you know, was...
You know, one of the disappointments, one of my disappointments, now you say it's none of my, not any affair of mine, but you know, I took a liking to Clarnell. And I just saw her over at your house, and once or twice, just a little bit out there in front of her house. And I just feel so sad when I think about that. I think she ought to be over there, and she's such good company.
Now, you wouldn't think so if you was with her now?
Oh.
No, that's it. Oh. Now, that's something I never heard of before, Rick. She is in one of the Jehovah?
Mm-hmm.
No, sir.
Seventh-day
Adventist.
Yeah.
And a set drunkard.
Oh.
You know, I don't think she grows
well,
a sober breath.
You mean the Adventist believing?
Her part of them.
She says she's not an Advent.
She
says she's just
a
Seventh-day keeper, but she ain't nothing else.
Well,
mother
it's all
than
the
Advent.
Same thing to me. I mean, you know, if you're going to keep Saturday as your holy day, well, then that's Seventh-day Adventist to me.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
But then they go in for this.
Sure, they teach it in there. So she said, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know a thing in the world about
it. When did you see her?
I haven't seen her in quite a while. I've talked to her.
You talked to her on the phone?
Uh-huh, and she called me. I guess it's been, well, last Saturday. It was a week ago where she was to go into Jacksonville to her church. And she was going to call me when she got back. And she ain't called me yet.
Well, hadn't she, don't you have any influence?
By what?
On her?
Not a bit in the world.
No,
I don't care nothing
good.
No more about her.
You gotta go to her.
She's out of my line.
Well, now... when she was over there, now you can't deny that. Over there, when I was over there and we were visiting over there a time or two, when she first started
mm-hmm.
having a little trouble, she was good company.
Yeah. But Marvin won't even talk to her on the phone.
Now, I can't be tied up that long at the time, not on a telephone.
Well, I know, but that's just something recent. At that time, is what I'm saying to you.
Oh, yeah.
She was good company.
Mm-hmm.
And you all had a good time over there.
But she just went to the extreme with her drinking.
Well, you wouldn't let her stay over there, would you?
No. I wouldn't put up with that.
Well, you did the best you could. You went and bought her a bed or something, didn't you?
Clarence?
Yes.
No. No, I don't think I did it.
Well, you went over there and made preparations for her when she was there and treated her nice.
Oh, we had her then half.
Yeah. But she wanted me to pay her $90 a month to stay with me.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, well, I can't afford no such as that.
Well, she didn't believe that.
She did, look. Yes, sir.
Well, she knew you had to pay her money as long as you wanted to.
Well, yeah, I was hoping she'd work out, because we didn't.
Well, don't anybody work out, tell me. Don't anybody work out. I declare. Mm. Now, you see, when I first run into them there, Clarnell and Marlowe, they was, you'd glad they're down there. And then everything had to happen.
Well, it was just them preachers that done it.
Well, y'all come go to the house with us.
Well,
spend the rest of the night with us. No?
I tell you what, around 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Miss Mary, would you promise to do that? I'll pay the telephone bill.
I'm scared too.
Don't be
waiting.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Okay?
Rick, come
sit. Oh, no.
I'll do that.
I just
put up.
You all finish
hanging?
About
a
word and a half.
John, that's John Turner, Miss Mary.
Now this is Channel 2 right around 150, oh I don't know, 800. 900, say, 850. And then the visit with Marvin and Miss Guthrie this Sunday, after supper, the 17th of September, 72. Channel 2, right. And then the visit with Marvin and Miss Guthrie this Sunday, after supper, the 17th of September, 72.
Neighbors over too. He had a whole other family show up.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, the Simmons or something. They don't live around here. I think they live out in Gainesville.
Oh,
He's a guard at one of these prison farms somewhere around here. So I kind of got caught in the middle there with, I guess it was about 8 or 9 kids running around.
Yeah, I told Faye, I didn't know whether you knew how to check out and check in or not, but all you got to do is just check right out.
Yeah, I probably...
You just say, I've got to go up there, they want me to handle them calves.
Uh-huh.
You see, he still ain't learned how to lie.
But he and that other fellow, he must know that fellow pretty good, because they sat there and Cookie pulled out a cigar and said, let me show you a good cigar, and the other fellow pulled out his cigar and said, let me show you a good cigar.
Yeah.
So Cookie pulled out his pocket knife. Look at that, that's case double X. The other fellow pulled out one and says, look at this.
Say, just leave that go for a little.
He opens his trunk and pulls out one just like it.
You don't want her to stay, go on and on.
Says, look at that, that's a double X there. Pulled it out. There's an old case knife all worn down. Cookie told him to send it on back in and give him another. And they just went on like that. One pull out one, show it, and another show the other.
Yeah. See which one the sharpest.
Yeah.
Which fella the sharpest.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm sorry I missed that.
But they were both over there talking real low, see, like they were whispering secrets, and I couldn't barely pick much of it up.
Oh, couldn't you?
Yeah. I couldn't tell quite what they were talking about. Cookie would just kind of cock down that chair, you know, that cigar.
Yeah.
He just pulled the knife out of the double X, put it in his pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, what rare form he was in.
Yeah.
They got him to talk about those horses. And he's so casual about it, you know. Plow those two with a double under plow. He doesn't go on about it a lot. He just said a word or two.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
He's got that horse up in Virginia he's going to bring down, he said.
Yeah. And he needs to get rid of these because he...
yeah.
Somebody else has to feed him.
Yeah. But, he seems to be wheeling and dealing. I don't know if he was going to keep that horse in mind. And then, Helen is, that's her name, Helen? Yeah. Lively.
Oh, yes, she is.
See, I hadn't really paid much attention to her, heard her talk much. But she was talking, and I moved that trailer in, and said you had moved a tree, and just stuck it back in the ground, a little cedar. And she pointed out, she said, now look at that tree, how that's come up. And then she pointed to two others, said, those two were small when we came out here, look how big they're going. She says, I know they were small because I have a picture of it that I drew. Well, I didn't get to see the picture. She showed it to the other lady, and I heard the other lady says, well, it looks like Grandma Moses.
Oh, really?
So she must be doing, you know, a little drawing there. Apparently, she knows this other lady because they were doing a lot of hospital talk about the, emergency room, so I guess they both work at the hospital. That's where they probably met each other.
Laura wasn't there.
Hmm. No, she's the oldest. No, she wasn't there. I think she's working.
And Frankie wasn't there.
Frankie showed up later on in his pickup. The old pickup truck, I don't know where they got that. It's about 3 different colors. Gray and white and rust red.
Could belong to him over there.
It might. He showed up from work. Came on in.
Yeah. I don't know how they afford to let him drive anything. Yeah. Now you see, I haven't met any of Cookie's ordinary friends.
Mm-hmm.
I met Miss Todd and Grandpa Todd and people like that.
Yeah.
But none of his. Well, I have two of them. And I didn't have, I'll tell you what, I didn't stay, I didn't have the, you know, it takes a little energy for those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, I keep sort of just a little low all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He had, one of his friends was operating heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big talker. And Cookie dreaded to see him coming. But he was nice. He stayed too long and he knew too much. I guess he didn't give Cookie enough leeway. I don't know.
He and this fellow and Cookie look to me like they just hit right off. Because they both talk about the same and they could just go at it with those knives.
Yeah.
And they never meet each other. In fact, this fellow pulled out an old Cookie, had three of them on him. But that fellow pulled out a big one, beautiful knife. And he showed that. He says, "That's double X and it's not stainless steel." And Cookie pulled a little out one out of his pocket. He said, "That's double X and it's not stainless steel either." And when the fellow pulled out the other knife, it had the broken handle. Cookie reached in his other pocket, pulled out one, and it had a broken handle too. And then they went to horses. Only this fellow, I guess, lives in town, hasn't ridden in quite a while. So, but Cookie didn't. He just say, "Yeah, they'll plow," and just let it go at that. And the girls had gone out to pull the horses in, see, and they couldn't get him in. So Cookie said, he just turned and winks at me like he'll wink. And he walked over the fence and called for him, and they came right to him. Oh, that made him proud. He's something when he's like that. He just sit down and he doesn't brag about it at all.
Until
no.
that's the beauty of it, you know. He does it with such little effort and lost motion.
And I was just thinking, what would happen if those horses didn't come up? They came running. And then this fellow would go over to his car and he pulled out this big handgun he had and showed that to Cookie.
Was that him shooting out there?
No.
Who was shooting over there?
I don't know. It sounded like a rifle or something. We heard it too. That fellow said, commented he didn't think bird season was open for somebody to be shooting.
Yeah.
But he had one of those two-way radios on his car. And you hear him get in that car, and his voice would just change, and start talking. Mobile operator, this is. It just changed completely.
Yeah.
Kind of a drawl, a monotone. And he talked on that for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, that's a curious thing. Now, they don't live a flat life, do they?
Cookie? No.
Those fellas. Somehow they preserve a little color.
Yeah. He said prison guard. I could just see him as a prison guard because he was a short fellow. He wasn't much taller than Cookie. Wiry.
Yeah.
I guess he's about my build. And he just talked about, Cookie said he caught some black people riding his horses one night. It's been quite a while ago. That fellow said, "Well, if it'd been me, I think I'd buried two niggers out there that night." But his wife, though, was German. That's a peculiar thing. You hear somebody doing their W's as V's with a southern accent. She was tall. She wasn't real tall, but long-legged, long-limbed. And her daughter, who was 14, she was 5'10". Very tall, though. See, he's a short fella. But, he was wanting to get out with Cookie and work with him. If he ever gets to doing any plowing or anything, he says, "I come down here after work." It's been a long time since I've done that. He apparently grew up on a farm, though. Because he mentioned where, he used to start his tractors by flipping the flywheel.
Yeah. I've seen those little ones. I've done that. You have to be ready for them to kick back on you too, don't you?
Yeah. That's what he
said. They can break an arm for you and say hello. Yes. I wanted to hear Helen talk about the bluegrass music they heard. And I wanted them to come up here, but I knew they wouldn't do it with the children.
And no, they were tied down.
Yeah. And
there was just things going on all the time. See, every which way. And it sounded to me like Cookie was hashing over old times or something with this fella, because it was obvious that I was out of place for them two to talk, because they just lean back and talk out the side of their mouth. And then I guess Helen was wanting to talk with this lady, but she was trying to keep the conversation open with me there.
Well, I don't know what I'd do in a case like that. If you want to get into it, and they have to keep you in it, I don't know what you'd do.
I kind of enjoy it, you know, it's just one way to get introduced. It takes a little while. And you see, Helen surprised me because she could do that. She could talk to that lady and me at the same time.
Yeah.
And say what she wanted and keep it open.
Yeah.
And she's got such a light manner. Now see, at first I thought she was kind of bitching at her children.
Yeah.
And Frank would come up and she said, "What do you want to drink? Now you want tea or you full of Coca-Cola?" And he says, "I'll take tea." And one of the other girls said, "Well, that's a surprise." And I could see the whole family there was kidding Frank about drinking Coca-Cola. He didn't take it hard.
Yeah.
He didn't take it hard at all. Well, she was that way with all the kids. She said, "I thought it was kind of hard on her."
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I thought, no, that's a hell of a way to greet somebody. They come up and you give them a hard time.
Yeah.
But she's not.
Yeah.
It's all in good nature. And she can make the ugliest face so fast and then turn around and chuckle.
Yeah.
And her little one, the little redhead, apparently had bopped her head that day when the feeling good.
Yeah.
Helen was over by the trailer, and the little girl was kind of getting pale, and I was worried about her. And she walked over, and Helen looked at her and said, "Are you okay?" And walked over, and I could hear her mumbling about, "Oh, she's once always got something wrong with her." And she was fine after that.
she's the one who's really an acrobat, that little lady. Well, now that's it. You see, in Miami, I can see that in some of your footing that you wrote. You were attracted by the Cubans.
Yeah.
Well, you have to discard that. You can't handle it.
No.
You don't have control of it. But you see, what you do, that happens. That happens. It's just like me going down to the junkyard there and talking about old Fred's wife, you see.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about him. I sleep alone.
Yeah.
And I can't get in. I can't make it. It'd be too much effort. So it's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, you have to make those... You actually have to make those decisions. Of course, decisions sometimes wrong. If you play along, then you may hit something.
Mm.
But then again, you're not looking for color, though. You see, you're looking for something much more substantial than that. You want to know them. You want color. That's not worth the effort. You see Miss Mary tonight. You see the thing, there's just one thing important over there now is, and that's, you see, they can't make it. Marvin's got to go back to work.